Thanks for listening to the Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Ah, here we go on a wild Thursday. Got breaking news, unhappy stars. It's the Herd in L.A., wherever you may be and however you may be listening. iHeartRadio, Fox Sports Radio, and FS1. Last night was crazy. Two NBA games. Weird, unexpected, doesn't begin to explain what we saw last night. It is... I'll try to unpack it here in the next 7-8 minutes. Joy Taylor is joining me. How about the Clippers? What a performance by the Clippers.
How about the Hawks? We talked about that line at the end of the show. I think, what was it? 5 points, 7 points, 7 points.
Yeah.
It's a lot of points to give the Hawks, who play to the very end of the game.
And
they do not give up.
And nobody, house money, nobody expects anything. They're totally loose. Sixers are totally rigid.
Well, I would hope if, you know, more than two players scored in the second half.
For Philadelphia, yeah. So let's just talk about the Clippers for a second. This has not exactly been a step-up franchise. When you consider the circumstances, let's contextualize this. Consider all the circumstances. Was that the greatest night in Clippers history? I'm dead serious. Now think about this. At Utah, best home team in the league. Kawhi Leonard's out. The Jazz played their best quarter of the year. The pressure on Paul George and his playoff reputation. No Lakers, LeBron, so the West is wide open. You're massive underdogs. And you have an impatient owner who's unhappy with how you underachieved last year. And the Clippers played a, at times, flawless basketball game. First, even when they went down 0-2, last night was an example of why I said I still like them. They're just a deeper, more athletic team. I mean, Reggie Jackson's a 10-year journeyman. He's been a reliable stud in this series. Marcus Morris, forgettable player, right? He's been excellent. Big shots. Paul George, easily after Kawhi Leonard. He's the best two in this series. And Ty Lue has had one for the ages coaching series. He's been fantastic. But last night is also why they're the most maddening team in the league. I mean, think about this. Utah hit 10 threes in the first quarter. They were virtually perfect. Clippers were down one. What? What? Who could survive that? We would have never guessed the Clippers would survive that without Kawhi Leonard. Paul George, who's never in his career. I mean, there's Indianapolis pressure. There's OKC pressure. No, last night was pressure. Steve Ballmer's unhappy. Kawhi is out. The world's watching. LeBron's out of the way. This is your moment. Oh, Paul George had his best game, not only as a Clipper, he may have had his best game as a pro. This is why they're maddening. That was a snake pit last night. I mean, I literally gave the Clippers no chance in that game. That first quarter was the wildest first quarter in the league this year. Utah was flawless. Couldn't miss. Clippers down one. Almost down one. First of all, Ty Lue has had an unbelievable series. His manipulation of lineups. Last night he goes small. Rudy Gobert ends up with no blocks. When's the last time Rudy Gobert played in a big game, didn't have a block or six? He had no blocks. So this has really been an illustration. This, I hate to say this, but it almost felt like the Lakers. We've had dozens of games in the last 10, 15 years. Lakers just step up in the moment. Kobe, the Shaq, the dunk, the moment. We've had individual players, LeBron, KD, Chris Paul, give us moments. You got Paul George's reputation. You got the Clippers' reputation. And that's what I got. I hope every Clipper had a second Heineken flying back to L.A. Today is one of those. Savor the moment. Now, it's the NBA, so you play tomorrow. So you don't get much of one. You don't get a third beer on the flight home. That was an amazing performance. That was unbelievable. to overcome and withstand that first quarter by the Jazz, half this league would have been down 20. And to do it without Kawhi. Now, it should be noted that a lot of times a team will lose a star, and for a game, they elevate. It's like the substitute teacher. You know what I mean? Like everybody's nice to the substitute teacher. You have these moments where the star leaves or an important person leaves, and everybody kind of rallies around. It's like this micro community, and everybody plays above themselves. But Reggie Jackson's been good in multiple games. Morris hit shots in multiple games. Paul George been good in multiple games. Ty Lue's been great. This is a savor the moment. You're not going to have a lot of time to celebrate. Savor the moment. Because that's when you contextualize it, you consider all the circumstances, the pressure on Paul, the pressure from Ballmer, the pressure from the LA media. You're playing the same building as the Lakers, and you gave us that in that snake pit is unbelievable. That is a great Clipper moment, and they haven't had a ton of them, and they haven't answered the bell in spots like that, but that was amazing. I just sat there in the first quarter. I'm like, they are just going shot for shot with the best three-point shooting team in the league, who was having their best three-point shooting quarter of the season. Clippers trailed by one. Wow. Here's Paul George after.
You know, it was no secret. I knew I had to be big tonight, and got to be big going forward. Believed in myself. My teammates trusted me. T. Lou trusted me. And, you know, I thought we lived in a moment, and we just played our hearts out tonight.
Is this what playoff P looks like?
Sure.
Now let's shift to a more catastrophic ending. Been watching the NBA a long time. Not sure I've ever seen anything as hideous as what happened to the Philadelphia 76ers. They led by like 18 midway through the third. That was awful. But it almost had to be that way. We've all heard the term before in life. You take a step back to take two steps forward. You know what I mean? You dissolve a business. You dissolve a relationship. You take a step back to move a couple steps forward. In a weird way, this may not be terrible. Now, I'm sure Philadelphia sports radio this morning is measured and nuanced, but for years and years, the media in Philly, the GMs, the one that got fired, the other one, now the new one, Daryl Morey, coaches, oh, Embiid, Simmons, it works, it works, it works. This thing is gonna work. It's like a Hollywood couple. They're beautiful people. It's going to work. But every time you see them, it looks clunky and they argue and you're like, well, but they're both doing very well in their careers. Their children are beautiful. And then one time they have a fight and then at a Christmas party, and on the way home, the couples acknowledge, yeah, it doesn't work for us. It just doesn't work for us. The Sixers needed this because they have been telling me for years, oh, Embiid, Simmons work. They don't. Simmons needs the open lane to score. He doesn't trust himself. He doesn't even want to go to the free throw line. He's petrified. He's terrified. But he's gifted. Embiid is unbelievable. But he's still hurt. You almost needed to me. You needed this moment. So now Doc Rivers and Daryl Morey, when they meet, are not going to sit there with platitudes and go, you know, it'll come together. It is a mess. Sometimes you need a big blow up. You need a mess. You need a fight. You need a catastrophe to go, oh, crap. This isn't going to work. And it's okay because we've been talking ourselves into the Sixers for years. Every time I question it, I brought their coaches on. I bring their GMs on. I talk to Doc. Everybody's always, oh, he's talented, super. I know it doesn't quite look like it fits, but this morning nobody can say, you know, that's really going to win championships. It doesn't work. Simmons only works if the lane is open. You have to have Ben Simmons as your point, surround him with shooters, take that pressure off him. Embiid, there's a bunch of places he fits, hopefully with a point guard that can shoot. But he's going to clog the lane up. He's the closest thing we've seen in 15 years to Shaq. He's going to clog the lane up. You got to give him the lane. He gives you 28 a night. He's a monster talent. But the two together don't work. And Simmons, and you can tell It usually gets worse before it gets better. The couple that fight, it gets worse, worse, worse than the blow-up. This is getting worse now. Embiid now resents Simmons. Simmons now is not even indifferent. He doesn't want to be coached by it. Doc Rivers now, after the game, you know, is trying to tiptoe and walk around. What is clear is that Ben Simmons has missed more free throws in the playoffs than the Atlanta Hawks team has. Seth Curry and Embiid were the only guys that scored after the break for Philadelphia. Ben Simmons in the last 2 second halves has taken two shots. It doesn't work. Simmons needs a new start. Simmons needs an open lane. Simmons needs lots of shooters. You can't give up on Ben Simmons. He's talented. There's something there. He's too cool and indifferent for my taste. I missed on this evaluation. But he's too good of a player not to have him somewhere around for some organizations. But we were just going to talk ourselves for years into this thing works. You needed that. It crystallized everything. This just doesn't work. I mean, good God, you put Harden, Kyrie, and KD together. An hour later, we're like, woo. I mean, you put KD, Clay, and Steph together. You're like, only one ball. Hour later, woo. It can't take this long. If you're in therapy twice a week, 9 years into a relationship, it can't be that hard. At some point, you got to be able to sit down on a television with each other on a Tuesday night, and you both got a cold, and you feel like crap, and somebody's crying upstairs, and you're happy. You're just happy being together. It just kind of works. We just kind of hang out together. We just kind of like each other. This doesn't work. And I honestly think, though, this won't play well in Philadelphia today. You kind of needed this. A complete, utter disaster to wake everybody else to go, yeah, we probably got to blow this stuff up. We probably got to start this thing over. It's good for everybody. Simmons will go to a better place. Embiid probably stays. He'll get some shooters. Daryl Morey likes to make moves anyway. Doc Rivers has moved around the league. He's moved around players. Some like him, some don't. It's time to move on. This doesn't work. All right, so LeBron James, by the way, here's Doc Rivers talking about Ben Simmons and his free throw nightmare after.
You play minutes without Ben, right, during the game. And so I think we're equipped for that, and we're ready to do that. Obviously, we did it again tonight. Do you want to do that is a better question, and the answer would be no. But, you know, when Ben makes them, we get to keep them in. When he doesn't, we can, and that's just the way it is.
Listen, I didn't like Carmelo, but he will be a Hall of Famer, top 10 scorer. Andrew Wiggins is underachieved, but he gives you 18 a night, pretty good with the Warriors. Greg Oden, bust, but it wasn't his fault. He fell apart. Ben Simmons was given God's greatest gifts and is just wasting them away. He's too expensive to bail on. He's got value in the league. You just got to find the right spot, and it's not Philadelphia. Start over. All right, boy, this is, I got to give credit to The Athletic. They have had a good couple of weeks on breaking stories. This is a big one. Zion and his family not happy with New Orleans. Are the Knicks listening? Well, Jersey Mike's, a sub above. There's so many reasons to like Jersey Mike's. It could be the bread, that Jersey authentic bread baked fresh in the store every morning. You can smell it when you go there at lunch. They have all kinds of chicken cheese steaks, some Philly, some bacony, all fresh off the grill, tasty. Highest quality of meats, sliced for each and every sub, fresh to order, never packaged, never pre-sliced. At Jersey Mike's, produce is sliced and cut and cared for. You can taste it in every tomato and sweet onion and the juice. Red wine, vinegar, olive oil, blended to perfection. So many reasons to love Jersey Mike's, and we do. Order them now through their app for no contact delivery or no contact at the door pickup. And now through June 20th, if you order Jersey Mike's on the app, use the promo code THEHERD, buck off your order. Jersey Mike subs, be a sub above.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Welcome. Welcome back in. Good to have you. So this is a bit of a breaking story. Shams Charania and Joe Varden. We've had them on the show in the last couple of weeks. Excellent NBA reporters for The Athletic. Talking about the end of Stan Van Gundy, got fired yesterday, I think, or the day before, and the ongoing battle to keep Zion Williamson happy. Sources from all NBA corners have pointed to the Pelicans as a heap of dysfunction. Most of the attention, it says here, from numerous sources has centered on Zion's family members' thinly veiled unhappiness with the Pelicans and whether those feelings have seeped into the player's own views. His family doesn't want him in New Orleans. Williamson obviously played in New York this year, went on and on about how much he loved it. Two sources said during the bubble last year when Zion disappeared, the thought was he was injured, but it was a minor injury, and there was a lot of questions about that disappearance. Williamson's family members, not a fan of Van Gundy, who's very rigid, preaches defense. He did not like Zion, did not like the Pelicans trading J.J. Redick to Dallas in March because J.J. and Zion had grown very, very close. J.J. Redick said of the situation, I don't think you're going to get honesty from New Orleans front office, objectively speaking. It points to a picture from two very legitimate NBA reporters of Zion's family not wanting him in New Orleans, not being happy with the previous coach or the J.J. Redick trade. Now, this is something we have discussed, is that young NBA players always sign their contract extension with the team. LeBron did it in Cleveland, his first contract option, because there's just so much more money. Zion could be the first. Now, veteran players move all the time and give up money. We know that. We've seen that. Chris Bosh, LeBron James. That happens all the time. Kevin Durant. Stars move all the time, but they've got their $150 million in the bank. Zion is such a big deal in terms of merch and marketing and shoes. I have speculated before. I think I speculated during the season two or three times. I have a feeling he will be the first player to not sign that contract extension. Now, in order for that to be true, he would have to go to a major market like New York and LA and be able to get that money back. Like, you can't go from New Orleans to Milwaukee. You got to go to a place you're going to win, you're going to be on television, and advertisers want you. Listen, LA is just different, folks. California in the pandemic had a $75 billion surplus. The economy in California is the fourth biggest in the world. He's not going to be able to go to New Orleans to a mid-level market. He's got to go to a New York or L.A. where if you don't get that extension money, because you'll get money, but you won't get extension money, you got to make it up somewhere. Also, he's going to have to, at some point, force a trade because they can match it, right? So it's interesting that the family is very, very unhappy. It gives Zion a little bit of an out. It's like, hey, my family doesn't want me here. Family wants me out of here. Will Zion be the first young star to not do the contract extension with the team that drafted him? I think there's a real shot. This article points out. It almost feels like this is the appetizer for that meal, which is get ready. It's being discussed. Zion's unhappy. His family's really unhappy. The Pelicans appear to be dysfunctional. It's a little appetizer. It's a little tease, but it's a tease about something we have discussed on this show. Joy Taylor with the news.
No.
Turn on the news.
This is the Herdline News.
Well, it's not just Zion that is a little unhappy right now. Apparently, Luka is not very pleased either. The Mavs just parted ways with longtime GM Donnie Nelson yesterday. Reports had surfaced that Luka was upset with the move, and he spoke today from Slovenia as he trains with the national team. He said, it was kind of tough for me. I really like Donnie. I known him since I was a kid, and he was the one that drafted me. It was tough for me seeing that, but I'm not the one making the decisions there. Sam Amick just tweeted, so it appears very likely that Luka still signs the Supermax, but from this vantage point, that dynamic is all kinds of bad right now.
Yeah.
Luka is close to Donnie. Luka doesn't like Valgaris's influence, and there's the Luka Carlisle component. Yeah, not great. That's what Sam just tweeted.
Woo! So
it's also very tense in Dallas right now.
So Zion and Luka, two of the – I mean, Trae Young is now getting – and Ja Morant are close to that. But Zion and Luka, just their physical stature and their dominance offensively, both young guys unhappy. And by the way, for the same reason, they feel there is somebody I like was traded or fired – and I feel there's dysfunction in the organization. So they're both basically complaining about the same thing. You got rid of a GM I like, you got rid of J.J. Redick, and there's dysfunction and not a history of great winning in the organization. I've got my concerns.
I mean, this is generally with, you know, trade a few of those complaint cards. This is generally what happens when stars get upset.
You know what? This is where I will be honest. I have always had so much sympathy for athletes. I'm not always in the athlete's corner. You're much more in the athlete's corner. I am a lot, but not always. But I know my personality. I got to choose where I got to go in life. The idea that I could have been drafted by a company in broadcasting, and if it's dysfunctional, you're stuck with it. Like, I got to be honest with you. It's easy to say they're rich, they're pampered, they're young. But listen, this has been a players' league since Spencer Haywood back in the 70s, okay? I don't want to hear like they're spoiled now. Lou Alcindor told Milwaukee, I'll give you a title, I'm out. So basketball is, you only have five guys on the floor. Football, you got 22 starters and special teams. Baseball, you've got your infield, your pitchers. In basketball, you got five dudes. If you have two great ones, you end up on television in June.
LeBron is literally worth an economy in a city.
He is an economy.
Yes.
Yes. Even in L.A.,
yes,
he becomes an economy.
Yes.
So
one player can change not just the history of your franchise, but
okay,
of your city.
And by the way, what other sport in the world's like this? International soccer. Ronaldo changes your economy. Messi, why? Because in soccer, there's a lot of good players. You get these once-a-decade transformational guys, and they change everything. They change your merch, your marketing, how you're promoted, how you're on television.
What the businesses around the stadium do.
By the way, we just had this thing in Europe with a soccer where a bunch of top soccer teams tried to break away from their leagues, and everybody freaked out. The reason they were doing it is because certain teams like Real Madrid and Barcelona are like, why are we splitting revenue? We have all the stars. So owners think about doing it. Teams think about doing it. Stars think about doing it. If you're great, you have high standards.
Well, yeah, so that's really what it is. If you're great, you have high standards. And if you're stuck in a situation where everyone, you feel like everyone around you doesn't have those same standards, I know I couldn't deal with it. Maybe it comes from our childhood. We both came from dysfunctional homes. Like, I don't do well in dysfunction. I get very impatient and very frustrated, and I can't do it. Like, I cannot deal with incompetence.
By the way, just got this from somebody inside the NBA. We have break.
Ooh. Yeah,
I'm breaking news here.
It's hey. Big J journalism.
Something to consider. Maybe AD wasn't wrong about the Pelicans if now Zion wants out.
Well, yeah.
Boom.
I don't think that I've ever looked at the Pelicans as a particularly dysfunctional organization, but not necessarily one that can sustain a superstar.
Yeah, I don't want to besmirch a team or an organization.
Yeah.
I mean, the NFL people that run the Saints are amazing.
Right.
Maybe they're not basketball people. It's a different culture.
Yeah, I don't think of New Orleans as a dysfunctional organization, but it might not be to the level that can sustain a superstar. Like, there's levels to this.
Yeah.
And, you know, but when you're talking about Dallas, this is kind of a similar situation. Now, they're not a dysfunctional organization. They do have a championship, and they do have a great owner.
In fairness, they've been a little rocky.
They've had some behind-the-scenes situations,
yeah,
and that's what this really is. So,
yeah.
So Nelson getting fired, reportedly, now the story is all coming together, reportedly had a stalemate with Cuban about Valgaris encroaching on his influence over personnel moves and strategy. So him leaving really explains that story, if that's what it came down to. So the story comes out that there's a shadow GM. Nelson is the GM. He is no longer there. So there is a shadow GM. Like, Valgaris is the shadow GM.
No, the story actually confirms a lot,
yes,
of what the sources were saying.
And the firing confirms it as well.
Yeah.
And so now Luka is unhappy. So what's interesting is I'm trying to find out how much, if Luka or Zion left, would they actually be leaving on the table? Because Luka's eligible to sign a five-year rookie max, $201.5 million. And without an extension, he'll be a free agent in the 2022 offseason.
But I, if I'm Luka, I would not leave. I would not leave if I'm Luka.
No, I would not either.
I think Dallas is a – they've won titles. I would not leave. Dallas treats their players like gold. Zion, I've been speculating this with you now for a year. That he may be too big for that basketball city. Like Orlando and Shaq.
Like New Orleans is a great sports city, but can the organization scale up?
Shaq,
like the Saints are incredible.
Shaq was too big for Orlando.
Yes.
He literally could not go out of his house. Jordan was huge, but Chicago is a big city. You can go hide in the burbs. You can go to restaurants. People can see their star. He had Oprah in the city.
I would push back on the city because New Orleans has shown that they can support a star. Like Drew Brees is a star. Now he's a certain type of star, but he's still a star. And the Saints are a big brand. I think that the city can sustain it. It's about the organization. Can they get it?
Can
together?
They handle
can
him?
Can they handle it? So LaMelo Ball has been named this season's NBA Rookie of the Year. He beat out the Timberwolves' Anthony Edwards and Tyrese Halliburton from the Kings, who is an incredible player as well. He had a great season. He was drafted number 3 by the Hornets, averaged 15.7 points, 5.9 rebounds, and 6.1 assists per game. He also missed 21 games with a fractured wrist and still was able to win Rookie of the Year. I say all this with a smile on my face because I'm so proud of myself.
That was your greatest pick ever.
It's probably the most right I've ever been in my career about anything. I saw him play when he was 16 years old in the JBA, and you know, nobody believes that he was going to make it because LeVar, and he went overseas, and he didn't want to play at Chino Hills, and they didn't believe it, what was going on in Australia. When you have the raw talent and the work ethic and you go to the right place, it all comes together.
By the way, a lot of people have rolled their eyes at LeVar Ball's claims. Lonzo had a very good year. Other Suns Rookie of the Year. I mean, you can say what you want. I bring LeVar on this show once a year, and I get pushed back every time. And I always say, let's be fair about this. Like, his kids are making it. Let's be fair.
He has two sons in the NBA.
Yeah, so
his youngest is Rookie of the Year.
I get pushed back all the time on LeVar. Why do you bring him on? And I'm like, it'd be one thing if his kids couldn't make the G League. Now he's got a Rookie of the Year and another kid, Lonzo, who's a nice player. He had a very good year. He could finally shoot threes. So it's like, give LeVar a little credit. He may be zany and wacky and goofy, but stuff's working.
Well, LeVar was the reason why people were questioning what LaMelo was able to do, because he pulled him out of school and then he sent him overseas. And it's like, oh, that is not a recipe that's going to work. He played against grown men, and I really think that helped him develop.
Yeah.
Finally, Aaron Rodgers and the Packers seem to be heading for a divorce sooner or later. Our very own Jay Glazer reported yesterday that Rodgers is definitely done with Green Bay.
I know he still wants out, without a doubt. Absolutely. Still wants out. Every time somebody called the Packers, it was immediately shut down. So, look, what these teams need to do is continue to call and continue to call.
Yeah.
I think this could actually start to get ugly. I didn't think so, but I'm sort like we go through the support Aaron Day or support the Packers Day.
Right.
I have like mostly support Aaron Days, but I'm starting to really think that this could happen. Like I remain in the space that he's going to be with the Packers this year, but as we get closer and closer to training camp and Jay has great sources, I could see this getting really ugly.
Yeah, it's interesting. I was reading this morning, Joy. Fan Side is a blog website, and said a former GM in the NFL, Aaron's selfish, teammates don't like him, coaches don't like him, it's all about Aaron, but you deal with it because he's a superstar and he puts food on the table for your family. Another general manager in the league predicted that multiple sources around the league believe what's going to happen, Rodgers stays away throughout training camp. Jordan Love gets reps, plays. It's actually not terrible for Jordan Love. He gets ramped up, and then Aaron comes back as the season started. I don't think that's crazy. As I've said before, if Jordan Love could play, this would all be really easy.
Yeah.
You could just trade Aaron to AFC team, and Jordan can play, and you're not great the first year. Aaron was 6-10 his first year. But this team's got a lot of good young players. Devontae Adams is young. Aaron Jones is young. Their offensive line, they've got really good players. You have a bumpy year. You know, it's not a great division. You go 9-8, 8-9. It's not great, but you're okay. And then you're good the next year. So there is light at the end of the tunnel. If Jordan Love isn't great, but he's a starter, Green Bay's shown an ability. They'll surround him with enough players in that goofy division. They can still win the division.
They're in the NFC Championship game last year. I mean, obviously they had the MVP at quarterback, but they have a great team. They have a Super Bowl caliber team. If Jordan Love is, to your point, a starter, they're going to be good.
Yeah, if he's good, if he's Daniel Jones, you're like, oh, you can win that division.
Yes, absolutely.
I mean, the Giants, they have a shot to win their division. And we don't even know if Daniel Jones can play.
But the thing is, like, if Aaron Rodgers is going to get traded, why would he leave $2 million on the table for training camp?
Well, I don't know. I mean, I don't think money's a driving force with Aaron. I mean, I think it is some, but remember with Aaron, he's a single guy. He's a smart guy. He's got a hedge fund he does. He's got ownership in the Bucs. I mean, Aaron's money issues. He makes $5 million a year, I'm told, $3 to $5 million a year, I've been told, on his State Farm stuff. Aaron's fine financially. He probably bought that house in Malibu almost cash. I think Aaron looks at $1 or $2 million for his happiness and says, that's my guess. I'm not speaking for Aaron, but if I was Aaron Rodgers, his net worth is well over $75 million minimum. It'll probably end at $200 million or more. I don't think Aaron cares about a million. At this point, Aaron wants to be happier, which isn't always easy, and I think he'd put a million, you know, he'd let a million fly off into the ether to be happy. Joy with the news.
Well, that's the news.
And thanks for stopping by.
The Herd Live.
All right, Chris
news.
Broussard on one of the nuttiest, craziest NBA nights. It was so much fun last night. Yesterday was one of those. About once a week, I just sit home, go to DoorDash, order a bunch of food, pour a drink, and just watch NBA basketball. It was nuts. Chris Broussard talks about it next. School is out for the summer. But if you're running QuickBooks, your business on QuickBooks, you'll never get a break because QuickBooks manual processes, integration difficulties, glitchy delays leave you scrambling for the numbers you need, failing to graduate to NetSuite. Going to leave you stuck in summer school while your friends partay. NetSuite by Oracle, the number one cloud financial system. No matter how big your business grows, the visibility and control over your financials, inventory, HR, e-commerce, and more. NetSuite is everything you need to grow in one place. 93% of surveyed businesses increase their visibility and control since graduating from QuickBooks to NetSuite. All right, NetSuite, one-of-a-kind financing program for those ready to graduate today. NetSuite.com/herd. NetSuite.com/HERD. Don't leave money on the table. One place. Control everything. NetSuite.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
But Simply Safe. Go to simplysafecolin.com. Customize your system. Home security with a human touch. Simply Safe. Last night was nuts. It was crazy. I said, I think you can make an argument. It was the greatest game, the greatest night in Clipper history, considering the circumstances, what they had to overcome. Chris Broussard now joins me live. Brought to you by Mercedes-Benz, the best or nothing. I mean, am I nuts on that, Chris? I mean, I just sat there and I watched how good Utah played in the first quarter. That game should have been over. They should have been up by 20.
No.
It was incredible.
Yeah, look, I gave the Clippers absolutely no chance to win that game. And what they did was phenomenal. As you said it, first, let's give Paul George credit because he gets drilled when he doesn't play well. You know, we make fun of his name. Oh, it's not playoff P, it's way off P. It's pandemic P.
Right.
It's playoff PU, whatever. Well, let's give him credit now.
Yeah.
Because he was playoff P last night.
Yep.
His 22 points in the first quarter, or first half, kept him in the game.
Yep.
And you're absolutely right. Utah was on fire from three, and yet they're up by one after one quarter. They're up by five in the first half after hitting 17 threes. Paul George was the main reason they were still in the game, and that obviously played all over into the second half. So give them credit. I tend to agree with you. I think if I had to point to the two biggest best situations for the franchise or best days, it was Kawhi Leonard and Paul George going there.
Yeah.
And then last night's game. There's obviously not a ton of basketball stuff to point to, but last night's was great. If they win this series, game 6 or 7, whenever they clinch, would be the greatest.
So I also made the argument that sometimes to create a divorce, you need a really bad night so everybody can at least admit, okay, it doesn't work. And everybody for years has been saying Simmons, Embiid will make it work, every GM, every coach. And last night was such a disaster, you can't deny now this is a mess. It just doesn't. Simmons has lost all confidence. I look at this today as a moment where even Daryl Morey and Doc have to look at each other and go, all right, we can just keep doing this over and over and over and over again, but Milwaukee's not going to get worse. Brooklyn's not going to get worse. I mean, I don't know. I think Philadelphia last night, this is the moment that illustrates that long-term, you can't keep going at Embiid and Simmons. It's not going to work.
Well, all right. First, Doc, before he looks at Daryl Morey, he needs to look in the mirror. All right, because Doc keeps blowing leads. Last night was his 11th playoff game in which he blew a lead of 15 or more points. That's the most in the last 25 years. No other coach has double figures in those types of games. So Doc needs to look in the mirror because these dudes, you got more talent than Atlanta. And when you lose and you've got more talent, it's your fault. So he's part of this. So he has to look at that.
Fair.
But here's the problem, Colin. And here's what really, I think two teams lost out on this. If Houston had been willing to do the James Harden trade, okay, now the owner, Tillman Fertitta, he didn't want to deal with Daryl Morey. He didn't want to give Daryl Morey James Harden to go with Joel Embiid and maybe gift him a championship. But I think that was the wrong move for Houston. Obviously, it would have been great for Philadelphia. But Houston had to look at it, should have looked at it this way. All right, we can build around Ben Simmons. You can build around Ben Simmons like Milwaukee built around Giannis. Because Ben Simmons can push the ball in transition. He's a very good point guard and playmaker. And in the half-court offense, if I don't have Joel Embiid in there, I can put Simmons down low. I can put him near the basket, and he's going to get me buckets and is a great passer if they double-team him. What you need to do is surround him with four shooters.
Yep.
And if one of those shooters is a superstar, a Bradley Beal type, now you're really in business. But even if it's not a Bradley Beal level player, you can still be very good and relevant. So I think Houston made a mistake not doing that trade. Now, going in, look, if they lose this series going into the offseason, I'm not just giving Simmons away, though. First, I'm trying to work on his psyche. I don't know if he's seen a sports psychologist, but obviously this is mental. And he pointed it out last night. The free throws are mental. That's a problem. And so maybe I got to get him to someone to get him the confidence, not only at the free throw line, but to shoot jumpers. Because we see the Instagram posts in the offseason. He's draining jumpers against, you know, some accountants at the YMCA or whoever he's playing with. He's just got to get the confidence to do it in an NBA game. So though I would look at several things before I just blow it up, unless I get a great trade for him.
Yeah.
But I'm not just blowing it up to blow it up.
Couple minutes left. Zion Williamson, The Athletic, Shams, and Joe Varden break the story today that his family doesn't like New Orleans. The organization's dysfunctional. Joy and I have talked about this for the last 6 months. He may be the first young player not to sign a contract extension. That feels real to me. You know, the Lakers, the Knicks, big market teams would go big into him. Your thoughts on the article and Zion's future or near future?
Well, as far as the contract, there's many things you can do. He could sign a shorter version of the contract, right? Remember, LeBron did that with his second big deal in Cleveland. So instead of signing for five, he signed for three, and that paved the way for him to go to Miami. So you can do that and keep the organization on alert. Also, it benefits, obviously, the player to sign that deal because you get the most money and you get that security. And remember, and the reason why a lot of guys sign that first deal, Colin, is because that's when it's really life-changing, generational-changing, I should say, money. All right, so it's hard to turn that down on your first deal. But it also benefits the organization. Obviously, for the security of, hey, we can keep you if we want. It can get ugly, and we might be forced to trade you, but we got some leverage if you sign long-term. But the other thing is this. It's better for you if you have to trade him. because now he's making max money. So you have to trade him to a situation where you're getting back max money in return. So that means you can get back a star caliber player potentially if you have to deal him. Whereas now he's making $10 million a year. So if you have to trade him now, you're not getting equal value. Here's what New Orleans has to do to rectify the situation. Hire the right coach. All right. David Griffin has said since he left Cleveland, man, now I get to build. You know, with LeBron, it was always you got to win a championship right now and you're not really building and all that. OK, now you wanted a chance to build. Here it is. And you get to build with Zion Williamson. Now go out. You made a mistake with Stan Van Gundy. Clearly, you retained Alvin Gentry, then fired him after a year. So you're 0-2 on the coaches. Hire the right coach, and that can stabilize things with Zion. I think Chauncey Billups is a guy that they got to look at. A lot of people around the league think he's destined for Portland. But if I'm Chauncey, as much as I love Dame Lillard, there's a ceiling with them.
Yeah.
I look at Zion and Brandon Ingram and Lonzo, and I'm thinking, okay, that's a team I can really do something with long term. Here's the thing. Will David Griffin hire a strong personality who is, you know, presidential material, right? The Cleveland Cavaliers offered Chauncey Billups the president of basketball operations. So Chauncey's a guy that a lot of people look at like, okay, he could be a great coach, but my owner might actually think he could be a great president too. And so will David Griffin have the guts to hire a guy like that? That's the type of move you need to make to stabilize the situation.
Boy, Broussard, you brought it today. I don't know if you had a couple Red Bulls. That's you were on fire. You're like the Jazz in the first quarter last night. You're bringing heat, baby, draining threes. Chris Broussard, who's always great, Fox Sports. Love having you on the team, bud. Thanks. He brings up a great point, Chauncey Billups. Let me throw another name out there. This sounds crazy. Hire J.J. Redick as a coach. Jason Kidd, stop playing coach. Steve Nash, coach. Where's Steve Nash been a coach? Steve Nash was out here in Manhattan Beach working on his tennis game, on his businesses. J.J. Redick should be a coach. Everybody likes J.J., super smart guy. Once found my lost dog, by the way, in Manhattan Beach. No, it's beyond that. But I think J.J. Redick's a guy. How long does J.J. Redick have to retire and have a coach? I'd bring him on that staff at least hour or two next.